This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, good Wednesday morning to you.
Pack, it's a little chilly on the farm this morning. I'm not going to lie to you about that one, son. Ooh.
Well, it could be worse. We could be in Texas, right? All my buddies down in Texas, they've tapped out. They've pulled a Jalen Johnson. They've opted out of trying to get this thing going, man. It's crazy what's going on in the Lone Star State. Holy mackerel.
Well,
so be careful out there.
Yeah, they got the rolling blackout going down there, I guess, and some other things, too, to preserve some energy and those type things. We have a Wednesday pack without a basketball game the night before. It's one of those things on the men's side. We've kind of become accustomed to the Tuesday night game, and we kind of come empty-handed to you a little bit this morning. But we're not without entertainment because we've got some information today. Packer brought up something a couple of weeks ago, and today he stages the war against BPI.
Me against BPI. I have ragged this BPI. I don't know who they are up there in Bristol. I have asked people that work in Bristol, who are the folks that represent BPI? Is it a computer? Is it a conglomerate? Who's in the corner office? What's the mastermind behind BPI? Because I don't understand. I understand the net more than I understand BPI in Bristol. And so we're going to have an attack today. Me against BPI and trying to figure out what in the world does all this stuff mean? Because every time you throw on a pack BPI as a 76%, I'm like, well, I'm going with the other team then. And lo and behold, it's amazing how often that happens. So we're going to go and address BPI in this first segment, Wes. And I'm really not even sure how we get started on this other than the fact that I don't trust it. I don't believe in it. I don't even like it. So that's why we're going to go on and jump on top of it right from the get-go.
All right, but hang on a second. You told us you've already got the net figured out.
I said
how'd you do that?
No, listen to me. I understand the net more than I understand BPI. I don't understand the net at all. I have no idea how in the world they figure out the net, but I at least can connect some dots with the net. The BPI, I have no earthly idea. And I have asked, and even during the football season when we go FPI, whatever that is, Football Power Index, whatever that is.
That's it.
I've even asked the real smart people on air at ESPN, explain me how this FPI thing works. Get no answer. I get, well, all I know is they're pretty good pricking games. Oh, okay. So, I mean, it's some dude in a corner in a dark office, right, flipping heads and tails. I don't know how this works. And I don't mean to belittle the company who writes one of my checks, but I have no clue about BPI. And so we're going to try to tackle that today in this first segment.
All right.
All right. Is that fair?
All right. Now, still to come on this show today. If the war against the BPI, if Packers' one-man war against BPI is not enough, Jay Billis will join us at 8 o'clock. We're looking forward to talking to Jay. He's been very kind with his time with us during the basketball season. We always appreciate that. 9 o'clock hour is going to be fun. Balsa Koprivica will join us from Florida State. A young man who's really developed into quite a threat. Hit a three the other night in the win against Virginia. Looking forward to talking to number 5 of the Seminoles. And then at 9:30 on game day, Roy Williams stops by, Pack.
You know, there's only one way to describe today's North Carolina-Northeastern game, Wes. And I gave this one some thought, and I'm going to throw this on Coach at 9:30 when he joins us. And we appreciate him doing it on game day. But is there any doubt this has now become the Twitter game of the century? Right? North Carolina Northeastern is the Twitter game of the century because North Carolina literally went to social media like a social media ad. Hello, we're looking for a home game. Anybody out there?
Like Jeff Walls.
Jeff Walls. But they got one. February 16th, 17th, 18th. Anybody like to come down to Chapel Hill and visit us? We'd love to play a game. And well, Northeastern said, hey, we're over here. We're in second place. In our league, we'll come down there and play. So it has become the Twitter game of the century, UNC and Northeastern. And we'll address that with Coach around 9:30.
And I know somebody asked me this last night. The game will be available on the ACCNX off ESPN's app, so look for it there. 7 o'clock tonight, Smith Center, Chapel Hill, Northeastern and Carolina. And Coach Williams will be with us at 9:30. Balsa Copra Beats at 9:15. Jay Billis, 8 o'clock. All right, now, remember, all this stuff with the BPI. And by the way, we'll also preview a big night of ACC basketball. At one point, we had a quadruple header scheduled for you here on ACC Network. That got cut down because Boston College yesterday, as if they needed anything else to happen,
What a week.
BC went back on pause. Huh?
What a week for BC, right? Jim Christian out, yeah. Winston Tabbs, see you later, game canceled. I mean, and you're 1-9 in the league. And the women's team lost last night to go 1-9 in the league. Pitt beat BC on the women's side, Georgia Tech winner last night too on the ladies' side. So all that stuff's going on. So we're going to address all this. But right now, Wes, roll up your sleeves. It's time to get down and dirty with the BPI. What in the world does it mean, first of all, right? What is it, right? Now, look at this stat the boys have come up. Accurately predicted 69% of ACC matchups this season. 69%. This, whatever it is, who they are.
So wait.
It's like the UFO out there. It's like the UFO shed in Area 51. Who are these people, BPI?
All right, but Pack, right off the top then, if they're telling you that somebody is, they're accurate 69% of the time, that means out of every 10, three times they're wrong.
Yes. 100% of the time, they're three times they're wrong. I'm not buying any of their numbers. That's my point with all this BPI. That's why in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed it on our show that I would bring up and say, Wes, what's the BPI? You would tell me, and I would say on the air, go the other way. Go the other way. And how often is that right? I don't care who it is. Go the other way.
Well, you've been on a pretty good run lately.
I bet it's better than 31%, right? So I don't want to.
All right.
Already I'm calling you know what on BPI on that 69% accuracy rate. Please.
Okay.
It's like me picking lottery numbers.
Let's look at the details.
Go ahead.
Look at the details. Head to head, BPI. The BPI favorite in conference play this year in the ACC, the BPI has won 59 times. The BPI favorite has lost 27 times. Now, here's the win differential through February 16th on, like, some of the teams in the ACC.
Hey, let me say one thing. For all you social media folks out there, see Florida State right there at the top? 12, BPI 8. You want to get on my case for putting them third last week on counting? Jump on BPI. They give you no respect. None. Zero. Mm. No respect.
Now, you notice that Virginia Tech and Boston College, BPI has not missed, Pack.
Yeah, okay. Well, guess what? I wait till the next time they play, and I'm going to go heavy opposite of whatever BPI says, and it'll be wrong. No, I don't trust won't. BPI. Me and BPI do not get along. BPI wears a Dodgers jersey.
Hey, NC State, come on.
Oh.
Come on, Pack. Come on.
Yeah. NC State in the house. Can't have nice things because BPI tells you that, right?
What about Duke?
Well, Duke's been a mess. Oh, listen, Duke's 8-8, right? Duke's 500, and they play Wake tonight. In a really important game. Every game is important now for Duke moving forward. Just see how they respond without Jalen Johnson in the lineup. And NC State there at the bottom of the list. That ain't pretty.
All right. Look at some of these differentials, though. Georgia Tech plus 3, Florida State plus 4, Notre Dame plus 4. Not to mention the ones at the bottom now.
You know,
because those teams have been better than we expected. Those teams have struggled more than we expected.
Hey, I'm not great in picking games. All right, let me just say this up front. I am not. I'll tell you up front, I'm not. But I will tell you this. When BPI gives you anytime there's a game in the 50s that BPI gives you a 58% chance, I'm telling you, you go the other way, you are in business. Now, if somebody's an 85% favorite, I think Florida State Wake Saturday was like one of those 86-88% Florida State's favorite. And I'm sitting there watching that game Saturday, and I would be lying if I didn't tell you I wasn't thinking, if Wake Forest wins this game, I am going to rip into BPI on Monday like nobody's business. And all the Deeks had to do is make a free throw, and BPI was going to be in my back pocket on Monday's show. And when you come in here at 88%, when you come in here with that 88% talking trash BPI nonsense and you come up with an L, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. All right? So BPI, I just don't get it. I have yet to hear anybody at ESPN explain to me how it works. And we've been doing this now for how long, Wes? 2 years almost?
323 shows, Coach.
Well, that's television shows. So, I work for ESPNU Radio. Technically, that's how it's
listed.
We've
been doing the radio show right at about 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
We've been doing everything right at about 3 years.
That's it. March 5th makes 3 years for us doing this dog and pony. Yeah. So, I have yet to hear anybody, and again, I'm telling you, people behind the scenes, people in front of the camera, explain how it works. So, every time you watch our show and you see BPI percentage, just start laughing out loud. Seriously, just start laughing out loud, or write it. Start writing them down like I do, because you'll go back and you will be roaring watching these games. So, listen.
All right.
Go ahead.
One final chart here to show you.
You haven't convinced me of anything yet, by the way.
One loss percentage, one loss in ACC play when given the higher percentage chance to win.
All right. This will be good.
Okay. Oh, boy. Virginia's 11-2. Carolina 6-3. Virginia Tech 7-1. You see Clemson at the bottom 5-1.
Yep.
Don't give it. Clemson not giving the higher percentage much in conference play, by the way.
I got you.
What's up with that? Pretty good team, right?
I'd say so. It's a solid group here.
Right.
Look at this.
Where are the Noles on this? Where are the Noles? Page two, as Paul Harvey used to say. All right? Because when you get to Florida State, they've been given the higher percentage chance to win 5 times.
Well, I mean, hey, no disrespect. If I said to you, every time Virginia plays, every time Florida State plays, I'm going to pick them to win, how often would I be wrong? I mean, just use common sense a second. Forget the BPI for a millisecond. I like
Georgia Tech and Notre Dame, by the way, only given the chance 3 times, and they won all three.
All I'm trying to say to you is, hey, if you give me the top 5 teams in America, if I said to you every time Gonzaga and Baylor played this year, I like their chances to win, guess what my percentage would be? Wes, just take a stab. 100%. That number doesn't impress me a lick. So,
okay.
All I'm saying is, moving forward, for all you ACC viewers and listeners, every time we put up a game, I want you to write down the BPI percentage. I just want you to write it down. And then watch the game. And just see how we do. Because I have no idea what's going on with the BPI. 0% chance I have a clue with what's going on.
All right. So, anyway, I'll wait until we re-rack this later in the show to ask you the question I'm asking.
Go ahead, no, ask it now. Get out of your system. Just get it out. You'll feel better going to the next segment.
Which would you like to do on this show first? A pick segment or trivia?
Well, I'll do picks, because I mean, listen. I told you my picks stink. That's why I do a thing on radio in football season, 30 and 30.
Losers.
No, 30 I do 30 and 30. The last segment of Friday's radio show during the football season is a tribute to many people. Leonard's Losers.
Yeah.
And a takeoff of 30 for 30. But I do 30 in 30, where I give you 30 losers in 30 seconds and let it rip.
There you go.
And I always say, if you keep up with my winning percentage, you should seek medical assistance immediately. That's what I say. Every week.
I got you.
Nobody cares what your picks are. Nobody cares.
Yeah. I got one for you, by the way. BPI tonight favors NC State, North Carolina.
Wait, stop. BPI favors NC State to win at Pitt?
No, I'm sorry. I've had a late change. Late change. I'm being told Pitt is the favorite tonight. By 0.1%. Pitt is a favorite by 0.1% tonight against NC State.
Well, I like
latest
Pitt.
Updated information.
I like Pittman.
Okay. What's North Carolina?
Well, North Carolina's going to win. What's Duke Wake? Do we know?
Duke is the favorite.
Is it like close or like are they
0.9%.
70.9
for Duke. 70.9 for Duke. 70.9.
All right, so Duke's a 71% favorite to win tonight at Wake Forest.
That's right. And what did we just say that the BPI was? Seven out of every 10.
So BPI likes Duke 70%. And they like Pitt in a coin toss game, right?
Right.
Is that what you're telling me? Mm-hmm. Please.
Yes.
Pitt. 50%. Pitt should be 70%.
Louisville is 55.5.
Louisville, Syracuse. Now we haven't seen
55.5 Louisville.
All right. That's the most important game of the night.
Pause, by the way. Louisville off a pause at Syracuse. Hosting Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse is at Louisville. All right.
Yeah.
Write them down, boys and girls. I can't believe Pitt's only a 50%. Pitt, NC State is a coin toss game? What am I missing there?
Updated information right there.
I'm asking you a question.
Freshly minted BPI.
I heard you. I'm asking you a question. Why is Pitt a coin toss at home against NC State?
I do not know. Can't answer that one.
Now, again, this is my pick'em skills. We can laugh about this tomorrow when I'm dead wrong. I don't know why that game is close.
And your point about NC State is, while they may have one in them, the matchup tonight doesn't lead you to believe that it's tonight. Right?
I don't think so.
I mean, NC State is still kind of searching at times for the identity.
Yeah, I tell you, if that game
BPI has missed on NC State a ton, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. I wonder why. I mean, they think that game's a 50-50 game. If you would have told me Pitt's a 70%, I would have said, okay, that's about right. I can't believe that's a 50-50. But I ain't getting Hey, maybe BPI knows something I don't know. We'll find out.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I will tell you, in my humble opinion, the Syracuse-Louisville game, which we'll get to here in a second, I think is the most important game of the night. Especially given the fact that accounting is due tomorrow. And that game...
Accounting tomorrow, great.
Yep. That game, in my opinion, has the biggest impact on accounting tomorrow. It's Syracuse and Louisville. And we've not seen the cards in a couple weeks. So I don't know what we get from Louisville. Cuse always struggles on the road. But, man, that would be a humongous get for the Orange. Big picture as far as the NCAA. We'll get to that coming up here. But again, as you see, a 56% chance for Louisville, according to BPI.
All right. I want to run something at you here real quick. And again, we have no perfect timetable in any of this, right? We've talked about it during basketball. We said in November it might be more difficult than football. I think that's proven correct. Wouldn't you agree, Pac?
Yep, no question.
Now, here's something to consider, given where we are, and we touched on this with Virginia Tech, okay? The Hokies went on their COVID pause last Saturday, right? And 2 weeks off of last Saturday basically is going to take Virginia Tech through about three or four games and put them in a position where they may only have two, potentially three games left in the season. Clemson went on the pause. We talked about that. The Tigers find themselves in a scenario where if they go the normal route, the couple weeks, what have you, Clemson's going to come back with maybe three games left to go in the regular season. Then Boston College went on the pause yesterday, and that may leave the Eagles with one or two games before the ACC tournament. Pac, here's the other thing. We haven't gone – How long? I was thinking about this yesterday. Have we gone 2 weeks in ACC play without a school on pause?
Doesn't feel that way. I don't know what BPI says, but I would bet that, that we've had at least somebody sitting on the couch every week.
Right.
Seems that way.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I mean, just kind of keep that in the back of your mind as we go through the rest of the regular season here at ACC. I mean, it's going to be a difficult fight here to get this thing to Greensboro.
There's no question. And that's what worries me about the NCAA tournament, which must be played. And while we're sitting here talking about the men's side, you know, we had two games with the ladies last night with Georgia Tech knocking off Miami and Pitt beating BC. And when you look at the standings on the ladies' side real quick, Louisville's 12-1, NC State's 8-2, Georgia Tech's 10-4. I mean, really the top three teams in the league have played 13, 10, and 14 games, respectively, in the league.
Right.
It's all over the place. And we expect it to be all over the place. And as we're coming down the stretch here in the regular season, it's that way on the men's side. It's certainly that way on the ladies' side. I'll say it again. You just have to embrace what you get. And when the word got out that Georgia Tech BC was being postponed, the first thing I thought of was, man, for Boston College, what a week. And it's only Wednesday. But it's what it is, Wes, and that's why it is going to be a unbelievably hard exercise to have a conference tournament. We're rooting for it. We want it to happen, whether it's the ACC, SEC, Pac-12, or anybody in between. And, you know, you got to figure out how this NCAA tournament's going to work, right? When everybody goes to Indianapolis and down to San Antonio, respectively, from both the men and the women's side, I hope we can pull this off. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I hope we can do it. But it's going to be difficult, needless to say.
Yeah. Well, and tonight is a good example. You mentioned Syracuse and Louisville. How about Duke and Wake Forest, those two ball games in particular? I'm fascinated to see what the Blue Devils look like. You know, is there some energy and a sense of urgency created without Jalen Johnson? Remember the first time Wake played them hard for what? 30, 35 minutes?
Yeah, Wake had a
Duke
chance.
Pulled away at the end to win in Durham.
Yeah, Wake had a chance in Durham, and like you said, Duke late won the ball game. I expect to see Duke very focused. I think the Jalen Johnson news, in my opinion, would energize them. That, hey, okay, he's walking out on us. That's fine. He's got to do what he's got to do. Now we got to do what we do. So I expect Duke to be focused, especially coming off, I thought, one of their better defensive efforts against NC State. I expect to see more of the same for the Blue Devils. And if you're Wake Forest, hey, that game against Florida State, they had the Noles on the ropes in Tallahassee. Right. A free throw here or there inside 15 seconds, they could have won that ball game. The one thing we know about Forbes guys, they have played hard. I think they'll be excited. I think they'll look at Duke going, hey, you know what? We had a chance to win the first one. Why can't we win the second one? So I think that game will be highly competitive. But I think the most interesting game, though, of the night is Syracuse and Louisville. Because, number one, it has huge ramifications for the Orange as far as the NCAA trying to get a quad one win. And for Louisville, you just want to get back on the saddle again, start riding, right? You keep waiting on Malik Williams. At what point in time do we see him in February, hopefully? And they just got to get back into the rhythm of playing basketball again. So there are a lot of interesting games tonight. And, of course, Pitt, NC State, if you're the Panthers, you need to load up. For NC State, you're just trying to get to the finish line at this point in time.
Yeah. By the way, Louisville's been sensational at home at the Yum Center in ACC play. They're 8-1 there this season. They've won 78%. But remember, they haven't played since February the 1st. That Monday afternoon matinee against Georgia Tech. Remember, that was the same day the Louisville women played NC State that night.
That's right.
Remember, they also had 18 days off in December. They went 5-1 after that, but lost to Wisconsin. Then won five straight. So let's see what we get tonight from the Cards against a Syracuse team that, boy, I tell you what, if they hit the first three or four shots, Pack?
Well, for Syracuse on the road, it's been a nightmare. But you know what? They won at NC State. Seems like everybody wins at NC State these days. But, you know, Syracuse is one of those teams, like you said, Wes, they can get into a rhythm and be a headache. But they've got to prove that they can do that consistently on the road. That has been a problem.
All right. See what it means. When we get rolling tonight, three ball games starting at 4:30, and then the non-conference game with Northeastern at North Carolina that was put together in about, I don't know,
Twitter
10 hours or less.
Twitter game of the century, Wes.
Yeah. I can't wait till you tell Coach Williams that at 9:30 this morning. Great. The response will be sensational, I'm sure. All right. We're going to play blind resumes at 8 o'clock.
Oh, the boys.
If you weren't with us last week.
Yeah, let's talk about BPI, that one. That was 100% woodshed. We did to that last week what Florida State did to Virginia Monday night. The boys were talking all that trash. Lumberjacks, boy, we got some for you guys. We're going to wear. We wore them out last week.
Yeah.
That was
And they're telling us we're going to be great today. Yes. By the way, they're telling us we're going to be great today, which means we're going to stink up the building.
Yeah, we won't get one right.
So
that's how it works.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. We are here to educate you in this segment. This is a very, if you learn anything today, this is the most important 15 minutes of the day right here. Because we are going to educate you on quad one, quad two, quad three, et cetera. You need to know this coming down the stretch. Now, if you're a basketball junkie, you got this. But for the fringe fans that only start getting interested in college hoops because we're getting closer to March, and I keep hearing these guys talking about quad one and Q2, and what does all that mean? Wes, we are here to inform and educate. This is a very important 15 minutes.
So when you hear the common term is, well, this will be a big game because it gives them a chance to win a game against a quad one team, or they've got too many losses against quad two, or quad three is all they got. Okay. Well, what are the quads? Well, they're kind of what you think they are. Like quad one, for instance. Quad one is home games against teams in the top 30 of the net. Now, the net, of course, is the NCAA-created evaluation tool that is now, what, 3 years old, Pac, I think? Is that right?
Yeah.
Pac's big fan.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's how it works. You got the net, and then you got BPI, like right about here, right? It's kind of like that. Okay. It's kind of like that. Yeah, the net is the net so is difficult. But yes, correct.
Then you have neutral site games against the top 50 of the net and road games against the top 75. Now, in a normal year, one would think that the home game and the road game and the differential and all that would be very applicable. How in the world that's being calculated this year, I don't know. Mm. But under normal circumstances, this is what quad one is. So what's quad two? Well, quad two is obviously a progression of that chart. And when you look at, well, and okay, here's quad one wins. Let's talk about quad one wins. There are two ACC teams in the top 30 of the net, okay? So the only way to get a quad one home win right now is to beat Virginia or Florida State, okay?
Yep.
Now, you can get a road win against any of the following teams.
Yeah,
there you go.
We are guaranteed to confuse anybody that did have zero idea how the quad one thing works. Right. We are here to, again, help you get through this. Yeah. But good luck trying to figure it out.
Okay. All right. Now, remember, you can beat any of those teams on the road and get a quad one win. That's the important differential in the net. It's almost like a sliding curve depending on where and when you're playing certain teams. Because remember, road wins, it goes all the way to 75. Right. Home wins only goes to 30. Neutral site games, top 50. All right? So remember that. So let's go to quad two for a moment. Quad two, what's the differential there? Well, those are home games, as you see, against teams ranked 31 to 75. Neutral site games, 51 to 100. And road games against teams ranked 76 to 135. So, when you start looking at that, what does that mean? Well, quad two wins, you can beat any of the following teams at home. Louisville, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Syracuse, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Duke. Road wins against Pitt, NC State, or Wake Forest. So that's quad two. You thoroughly confused yet, Pac?
No, I'm with you. I like to study the quads. Quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four.
I know why you like it, because blind resume is coming up at 8:15.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Now, quad three. Quad three is the one where If you got too many in the left or any movement in the right,
you're in trouble.
It's not good.
Yeah, this is
quad three is home games against 76-160, neutral site 101-200, and road games 136-240.
Yeah, if here's how this works. If your team does not have good numbers in the quads three and four, you will be on the couch watching March Madness. That's how this works.
Yeah, you will.
I'll cut right to the chase.
And you know you're already there. You're already there. Yeah. You know it. I mean, right. By this time, you know where you are.
Yeah, if your quad three and quad four numbers aren't good, you're already looking forward to spring football. That's how that works.
Yeah. All right. Here's how quad three looks right now involving the ACC. They are strictly home wins against Pitt, NC State, and Wake Forest, road wins against Miami and Boston College. That's actually a good thing, in that you know where you are in those lights. But you don't want to be playing in that neighborhood very much if you're in the ACC.
And that is one of the reasons why a game, I'm just going to give you a for instance here, a game like Duke at Miami about 2 weeks ago was such a big loss for Duke. Because that was one of those L's. You just, if you get the win, hey, great. Pat you on the head, you go on now, next game. You lose it, it's a huge loss. It's a huge loss. And that's why Duke finds itself fighting for its life right now, trying to figure out a way to get in the NCAA tournament. You just do not want to lose games in those quad threes and quad fours. Those are killers on your resume.
Well, and let's be honest, Pat, the Miami loss, Duke is 1-2 in quad three right now.
I didn't know that, but that tells you all you need to know. If you are sub 500 in the quad three and quad four, that is a problem. That is a problem. Major problem.
Right. And again, this is a different year. We could have this exercise in a normal year and give you more of a body of work. I personally don't believe that the net is indicative of the home and road concept this year. I think so many environments are just stale and septic, if you will, even though you're playing in somebody else's gym. Rarely are you getting any kind of percentage of fan. I mean, let's be honest. Clemson and Florida State are really the only two places that have any kind of working environment at all in the ACC this year, Pac. I mean, everybody else that I've seen, I mean, Louisville too. Louisville's got fans in the building. So Clemson, Louisville, Florida State are really the only three schools that I can recall having any kind of marginal fans in the building.
Well, Georgia Tech has started to bring in students
and
so forth.
Georgia Tech has, yes. That's right.
You got to throw those guys in the mix as well. But listen, we knew that was going to be the case heading into it. And whether you have a handful of folks sitting over there in Section 123 or not, it's just not the same, right? We talked about during football season, same thing during hoop season. You got to go play. And you know what? Wins are still the most important thing. At the end of the day, I don't care how many fans are there. It's all about, hey, W's and L's. It's all there is that matters. So you just can't have the quad three, quad four L's are kind of an eliminator to me when you start getting down the stretch in terms of, all right, you know, again, the NCAA selection committee on Saturday gave you 16 teams that they had ranked. And one of those teams was Missouri, who, by the way, I don't think has won a game since. You got to win games. I mean, how is this going to be judged as uneven as it is? Hey, how many quad ones do you have? How many quad twos do you have? You have some gut. That's how it's going to work, Wes. If you're good in the one and the two, you got a shot. If you're struggling with L's in the quad three, quad four, you're going to be out unless you win your conference tournament.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens here. We got some games tonight. Could impact some of that, right?
Syracuse
game you keep talking about.
Go right to it. It's the most important game tonight in terms of who wins and who loses. It's a big deal. I'm not just talking about accounting now. I'm talking about really important stuff like the NCAA tournament. I think Louisville is still going to be in, but you just don't want to have one of those 2 or 3 week slides where you don't win any games and you're coming off a COVID pause. Who knows how teams respond, right? It's been weird. Whether you're going to pull a Florida State and be lights out, or we've seen a team like Clemson who goes for 2 weeks and just gets obliterated coming off a pause. You don't know how teams are going to respond. So that, to me, is the singular most important game tonight in the ACC is Louisville and Syracuse.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
You may know Ron Simmons as the first ever black wrestling champion, but before he was making history in the ring, he was one of the most dominant defensive players in the entire nation at Florida State. A consensus All-America as a junior and senior, Simmons was recognized on 19 different All-America teams and became the first defensive player to have his number retired in school history. Packer and Durham honor Ron Simmons, and we celebrate black history always here on ACC Network.
Packer
and Durham. Bad man right there now.
He was
great.
That
was a bad man.
Yes, he was.
Those early Bobby Bowden teams.
Yeah.
Bad man.
You know what else I love is when we show old school video, right? And I've said this before. The film, I love it. And just to see how the sport has progressed. And you watch plays from back then, and you see the size of the guys and the speed and so forth. But even like the uniforms and all that kind of stuff and how it's changed. But you're right now. That was Mr. Simmons off the top ring rope and on the field. He was some kind of player, boy. He was something.
Yep.
He could get you.
Yep. Couple of ball games to give you quick notes on. NC State Pitt. We showed you the line on the bump going to break 10 straight. 10 straight. Do you wonder what that is? NC State's won 10 straight against Pitt?
I did not know that.
How about that?
I before today's show, I did not know that stat until the boys hit us upside the head with it. And maybe that is why BPI says this is a coin toss game. Because I just, based on the eye test, I think Pitt's better than NC State, and they're at home. I've told you 2 weeks ago I was worried about NC State. I'm still worried about them. Pitt's kind of going through some highs and lows. Justin Champagne only taking 6 shots the other day. I'm going to say the over of 6 in the first half against NC State. Wes, that's going to be my BPI number. Over 6 in the first half for Justin Champagne. He's got to take more than 6 shots. He's liable to be the ACC certainly. Player of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah. A question here would be, do you look at a matchup tonight like Champagne and Jericho Helms and go, okay, Champagne, Helms is an athletic guy who can get to the perimeter, who can also score it a little bit. The thing that concerns you is, does NC State play both bigs and how does Pitt handle that, Pack? Because you and I both know the rebound thing is real with the Panthers. You got to find a way to pick up the extra change around the glass.
Well, it's the same story with Pitt every time they play. Is it going to be the big one or the big three or a combination, right? If you get the big three, I think NC State's in a lot of trouble. I just worry about how NC State scores. You know, with Devin Daniels out of the lineup, they're just not the same team. They lost leadership. They lost scoring. You know, Funderburk kind of gives you sometimes he's in, sometimes he's out. You never know. Helms has been okay. But I'm worried about NC State. I told you 2 weeks ago I was worried about them. And, you know, how do they get to the finish line if you're the Wolfpack? I know they've now won 10 in a row against Pitt. I know BPI has it at a 50.1%, which is a coin toss game. My gut instinct on this is that Pitt's a better team than NC State right now today with whatever the lineup is.
Yep.
And they're at home. You know, NC State's going to shoot lights out, I think, to make this thing interesting, in my opinion. Now, I come back here tomorrow, eat crow, do whatever you want. NC State may take them to the woodshed, for all I know. But I just think Pitt's a better team than NC State right now as we sit here on February 17th.
Seems like an important ball game for Pittsburgh, too, if you're going to capture any kind of momentum, right?
It is. And they've been weird at home. I mean, let's be honest. You know, Notre Dame goes in there and beats them by 26. It's the same place where Virginia Tech walked in there and lost. I mean, how do you explain that? You can't. So what Pitt team? Pitt's been a lot of Jekyll Hyde, right? Sometimes you get the good Pitt, and, man, you go, wow, that team can compete with everybody. Sometimes you get the effort like they did against Notre Dame. You go, who are these guys? I don't know who they are. So I don't know what you're going to get with Pitt. I say that all the time when they play. Do I get the big one and arguably the best player in the league, or do I get the big three? When, you know, Johnson's rocking and Tony's doing his thing and so forth. So, Wes, this afternoon at 4:30, I guess we'll find out that answer while I'm on radio. But I like Pitt to win this game.
I think, too, when you think about this is NC State tonight, scheduled to host Clemson on Sunday. Obviously, Tigers have some COVID activity within their program. So we got to wait and see if that one pulls off, right? Then NC State on a turnaround 11 days later. So State at home, Clemson at home, at NC State.
But they get Clemson
and then
again.
Wake at home and at Clemson.
So they got
crazy.
Two states, two Clemsons, and a Wake thrown in the sandwich, right? How bizarre is that schedule? But that's what we got. Right. That's what we got.
Seems like an NBA. It seems like the old Midwest division of the NBA. You go to Milwaukee to Chicago, right. Kansas City, Omaha to play the Kings of Phil Ford, Notice Birdsong, and then you go back to play Chicago.
Right. The Hawks and the Hornets are going to play four, and somewhere in between Orlando got in the way, right? Same
that's
deal.
That's it. You got it. That's exactly what it is.
It's really bizarre.
So, you look at Pitt and you just kind of say, okay, here you are. You're basically in a spot where you got a chance at 5-6, but how do you handle it?
Let me just give you something to think about, because you're going to have to do this between now and tomorrow. I'm going to give you this scenario, Wes. Pitt beats NC State this afternoon. Duke beats Wake tonight, right? Which, again, based on the BPI, those would be favorites. Louisville beats Syracuse, which is another BPI favorite, all right? So I'm going to go BPI chalk with those three games. If that all happens.
Come on now.
Hear me out. We just did a whole thing on BPI. So we're going to give BPI credit. BPI is right tonight, right? They get all those right. If that happens, Wes, Georgia Tech is 6-6. Pitt is 6-6. Cuse is 6-6. Duke is 7-6. Notre Dame is 6-7. Tomorrow is accounting.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is accounting.
Well, and basically tonight about 10:30, my head explodes.
it's why I pose that question to you, because our homework is due for tomorrow. And if BPI is right, I just gave you five teams that are either 6-6, 7-6, or 6-7. Good luck with accounting.
All right, let me throw this on you for accounting. Florida State and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just as simple as Florida State won by 21, therefore they're number one for you?
Well, you're going to find out tomorrow on accounting.
They're a game and a half back of Virginia.
I don't matter to me. I watched the game.
Okay.
Hey, listen.
All right.
Here's how I'm going to answer your question without telling you the answer. Your life depends on it. Who are you picking?
Great. Okay. Gotcha.
Who are you picking? Your life depends on it. That's how I do accounting. My life depends on it. Who am I picking?
My life depends on accounting. My life does not depend on accounting. Unbelievable what we're doing here on this show.
I love it. I love accounting.
So Carolina, by the way, gets a Northeastern team tonight at 7 o'clock. The game's available on ACCNX. Roy Williams will talk to him at 9:30 about Billy Cohen's team and the strange way this all came together. Know this, though, that Northeastern, early in this season, opened at Syracuse. 62-56, the Orange won the ball game. But Northeastern's a quality team. They're right now second in the Colonial, which is expected to get one bid. But nonetheless, Billy Cohen's a longtime successful coach, former Boston College assistant back in the day, and knows basketball. And typically has had a very good program. So this will be a nice test for North Carolina. Nonetheless, BPI says the Tar Heels are 93% favorites tonight.
I would just like to say one thing. I know he's going to join us at 9:30. I am really thrilled that Roy Williams is going to join us on game day. I would like to have known the BPI number for Coach Williams joining us on a game day before we started ACC Network. I would have said it would have been around... zero. I'm thrilled that Coach is joining us on game day.
Yeah.
And I love when he's on with us anyhow, but to do it on game day, especially the Twitter game of the century,
sure.
We're going to get into all kinds of things with Roy. I cannot wait to have him on here at 9:30.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.